Hi, Elliot.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, we're good. You're not grouchy, are you? Are you in a bad
mood?
Good.
We're great. We're the best.
No, I'm not grouchy. Why would I be grouchy?
I don't know. I just...
Just because I had Duke in my NCAA bracket?
Ooh. Well, I wouldn't be grouchy about that. That's just a poor choice. We make bad choices in life.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Sorry, Red. Like, I'm sure you had a lot of... you did a lot of, like, real serious research into what the proper choice was.
Well, yeah, like UCLA probably winning it all. So if you just called me, I could have... You know, we call you for the hockey stuff. I got everything else.
Yeah, that's... Definitely do that next year, Elliot. Definitely phone Warner.
I'm going to make a note in my notes.
Yeah.
Call Rhett next year.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
March.
Yeah, March Madness. I'm assuming you saw the highlight from last night. We're kind of curious here in Calgary what to expect in terms of any fallout there. Yes.
Well, Doughty played, right?
Yes.
Well, it's usually. That tells me that, the guy is not going to get suspended if a guy comes back. But, you know, the one thing about Tkachuk is he's been warned a few times this year. So usually my sense is if a guy comes back and plays, then you're more on the safe side than not. Although I will say recently, you know, we had a couple where – guys came back and it didn't matter. There was still a suspension. I'll put it this way. Tkachuk's reputation is growing. I'm not sure he or Calgary really care a whole lot. They kind of like the way he's been, and I think that the reason he is wired is one of the reasons that he has been such an effective player and would be in serious consideration for Rookie of the Year if it wasn't for two absolute studs at the top who are wiping everybody out. I don't know if I see him getting suspended, but I definitely think he's a guy who a lot of teams have complained about. And he's definitely walking that line. And I wonder if we reach a point where he gets a game or two, just sort to push him back a bit.
Well, and we were talking this morning, it's full hypocrisy in this room. Because if Mark Giordano or Johnny Gaudreau took an elbow from some first-year player, we would be outraged. I mean, we'd be losing our minds.
Yes.
However, on this side... We're kind of okay with
it's kind
it
of a because good, I like it because
Doughty didn't get hurt like you say and yeah. Don't mind having that kind of little stink to him.
Well, there's no question the kid's gotten noticed, right?
Yes.
And some of this stems from there was a game early in the year where you guys were in LA on a Saturday night. It was a hockey night game where you guys weren't going very well and. You lost, I think, 5-1, but Tkachuk was in a lot of ways the only guy who showed up that night. And I know the Kings, after that game, were kind of like, you know, this kid is a bit dirty. So it doesn't surprise me that the kid, that he's the one who set the Kings off. Because, like I said, they've been kind of talking about him for a little bit, and they're not the only ones. Look, you know, that's part of Tkachuk's game. I think there's a reason he's been effective this year, and that's it. He's not afraid, and he does go over the line a little bit. We're just going to see if the NHL's going to knock him back into it. And, you know, quietly, like if I was in charge of the Flames, here's my question. If he does need to be taken back a peg, do you want it done now, or do you want it done in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah. We'll see. I would think there will be some. We'll hear something one way or the other, like you say, if it's a fine or a warning or whatever. Now, you had said he's been warned already this season. I don't want to tread somewhere where you're not comfortable going, but
I don't mind. He has been. I believe he's been warned. I can't remember the incident off the top of my head, but I think I wrote about it earlier this year where he got kind of a warning about something he did. I'd have to check and see what it was, though.
Saw the Kings last night. That was must win times two. I mean, they had to have it. They didn't get it and didn't look that great in not getting it.
Unimpressed, you know, to say the least.
We're kind of a little bit surprised here this morning that it looks like the Kings are done for this year. And now what does that mean moving forward?
Well, there was a report. I've mentioned his name on your show before, John Hovind, who covers the Kings. There was a report out there that he does a good job covering them, that he thinks that there could be some trouble for both the GM and the coach. And I know that report had some rippling effect around the organization. There was some talk internally about it and what he'd said and, you know, how serious it is or what it really means. You know, you look at this team, they go almost 45 years without winning a Stanley Cup in their existence. You know, Gretzky got them to the tip, but they couldn't close. They win two in 2 years, and then they've gone, and you look what's happened since then. In 2015, they missed the playoffs. Last year, they go out in the first round to San Jose, and this year, you're right, it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs. And I think the question that they're kind of looking at there is, what kind of credit do you deserve? If how long a stay do you deserve if you win two Stanley Cups? And for me, it's a lot. Like, you know, this organization has gone to places where it's never been before, partly on the decisions that, you know, this group has made. But I don't know. I mean, there's obviously some rumblings there. It's tough to tell how serious they are. You know, Luc Robitaille, who's kind of in charge of the business operations there, is he interested in a hockey job? Does it mean that he's in line to get it if anything changes? What about, they've got some guys there. What about Rob Blake? What about Mike Fuda? I mean, if it was me, you know, the only thing I look at with Dean is, you know, he's been very loyal. He signed Dustin Brown to a long contract. He could have bought out Mike Richards, but didn't. And those are decisions right now that look like they went the wrong way. You know, people used to say Gretzky was too loyal. Kelly Rudy had a great line about that. He always said, boy, what a terrible thing to say about someone that they're too loyal to people. You know, unfortunately, sometimes that hurts GMs. I don't know. I'd have a longer rope for these guys, but I'm not the one there making the decisions.
We were talking this morning that as much time as we've spent talking about Washington and how the Capitals are they're kind of the measuring stick, and they've been, you know, out in front all season long. To see Columbus pass them in wins and tie them in points last night, it's weird, and we know they're there, and it's an unbelievable story, but very quietly, Columbus is at the top of the East.
Yeah, you know, they've done a great job this year. There's no question about that. And, you know, I will tell you this, like, there are some teams that have had bad years this year that look at Columbus and say, okay, do we have that in us next year? You know, I know Colorado has thought about that. They've looked at some of the players on their roster and said, you know, if Varlamov comes back healthy like Bobrovsky did this year, do we have this in our ability? And I don't think they're the only one. So they're almost the patron saint of, you know, do we come back and can we come back this quickly? I think the other thing is, you know, the thing about Tortorella is there's a lot of people who don't like him. And I think a lot of it stems from what happened in Vancouver. And, you know, I've spoken to him about this in the past, and I've had my opinion on it in the past. I think when he got fired in New York, it was a real shock to him, because from what I understand about the timeline there, he was coming back and then he wasn't coming back. And he was really shocked. And, you know, Vancouver's coaching search kind of wasn't going in the right spots. They looked at Dallas Eakins. He went to Edmonton. They looked at Lindy Ruff. He went to Dallas. And then, you know, they looked at Tortorella, and I think Tortorella was still in shock. And the worst thing that I think could have happened to both Tortorella and the Vancouver Canucks that year was they ran into each other. And I think with a bit more perspective and some time, you know, he he needed it. And, you know, this before this year, they asked him to be a little bit more positive. And then during the year, they had another team meeting where they kind of just said, hey, a reminder, like, ease up a bit. And, yes, sometimes he gets upset, but he's a good coach. He knows the game. He knows how to get people going. You know, I think he had a lot to do with the Johansson for Seth Jones trade, which, you know, Seth Jones has been a huge player for Columbus on their back end. You know, a lot of people like to take shots at Tortorella, but he's played a role in getting those guys going in the right direction. And between Bobrovsky and the growth of players like Wenberg, they've come a long way.
What about Minnesota? Is this where Boudreau has to earn his?
It's their first real big slump of the year, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that it comes at a time where they made a few moves. Like, Hanzel was sick, so he missed a few games. And then they're trying to get their line sorted out. You know, the one thing I know they felt there internally was their schedule really eases up now, Rhett. You know, they I think they only have three games now. I think they only have I don't know if they have any more back. I have to check it exactly, but I think they only have three games now where they have to either go out of their time zone or go somewhere and then they come back. So their worst part of their schedule just ended, and now between now and the playoffs, they have a chance to breathe a bit. So I think we're going to get a true indication of where they are over the next couple of weeks. You know, the one thing that scares me a bit is that Dubnyk is struggling. You know, he's been their rock. He's kind of on the periphery of the MVP conversation. If he doesn't sort it out, then it doesn't matter how good their schedule is. As long as Dubnyk straightens it out, I think they'll be fine.
Anything to do with Chicago going in there?
I was
going to
ask. They
sending a message.
You know, they have lost five straight, and the first one of them was that kind of emotional loss to the Blackhawks.
I always worry about you know, everybody, like, losses this year. Like, Washington's had one major slump this year, and it was just recently. And Minnesota has had one major slump this year, and it's now. Like, every team has a slump, so I always am wary of – I'm always wary of proclaiming anything to be a bigger deal than it is when you've only really slumped once in the season. But it's interesting. Washington had theirs after the deadline. They went out and they made the biggest move. Minnesota made theirs – is having theirs after the deadline. They went out and they probably made the second biggest move. Like, I wonder if there's something to upsetting – the chemistry or internal mechanics of a team that's going so well, and whether or not players have to adjust to that. But I think in Minnesota's particular case, it just also coincides with the fact that Dubnyk isn't going very well.
Impressed with Montreal this weekend?
Very impressed. I really liked Ottawa. Like, I was at Ottawa, Chicago on Tuesday night, and Chicago's really rolling nicely right now. And there was no ice in that game. They lost in regulation 2-1, but they battled Chicago to a standstill. And I was like, you know, even though that's a loss, that's a good game. And, you know, Montreal to take them back-to-back, that's pretty impressive. I don't know how you can't be impressed with Montreal when it really looked like they were reeling. That's, in some ways, that's a big validation for Claude Julien.
Are you hearing anything Las Vegas related? Obviously, they're looking to get a coach, and we know we're keeping our eyes as far as the expansion draft. They can make deals.
Yeah.
Any rumblings around any of those?
Well, there's been a couple. You know, obviously, we know they've interviewed Gerard Gallant. They've interviewed Jack Capuano. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a coaching change in Dallas that they're going to interview Lindy Ruff, and they'll probably see who else is out there maybe after the first round of the playoffs. So that's one. You know, I think the teams have talked to them about deals around the expansion draft. I mean, I look at, you know, Nick and Doug McLean have reported they heard there's been a conversation about Marc-Andre Fleury. I think there's been a conversation around Eric Fair, who was traded from Pittsburgh to Toronto, and Eric Fair played for George McPhee in Washington. So, I mean, that's a sensible fit if that's what they want to do. I know there was a radio interview where one of their scouts talked about, you know, do we take like seven goalies? But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to have a lot of options, and I think they're going to have some players who are willing to go there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. They also took a look at two KHL players who the NHL looked at last year. Their names are Shipachov and Dadonov. And I think they considered the possibility of bringing them both over together, but I heard those guys are asking quite a bit, so I'm not sure if Vegas is going to do that.
Anything else cooking before we let you go? I know you've been watching NCAA free agents and all of that. Anything cooking?
Well, I do know that there's a kid from Ohio State. His name is Josh Healy. He's an Edmonton kid. They made the NCAA tournament this week. They made the NCAA tournament this week when Penn State won the Big Ten title, so it's put his decision off a bit. However, this is a guy who's – and the talk this year is he doesn't have the right game for the NCAA because he's a big hitter. He's been suspended a couple of times, and apparently there's some question about his eligibility this week for their next game, their NCAA game, because I've been told it's kind of craziness. But he might be in trouble again for a play at the end of regulation. And I know some people in the crowd who saw it, and they were like, when I told them I heard this, they're like, that? So I don't know what his situation is, but he's a guy a few NHL teams are looking at, and I've heard all the Western Canadian teams were involved there. So somewhere, I don't know if he's on the final list or not, but I think, you know, Calgary was definitely in on him. So we'll see what his situation is, and he'll be coming out once he's done.
Have a great week, fella. We'll talk to you on Friday, and that'll be just in time for what, your bracket to get even blown apart worse than it already is.
You know, I was doing so well. I had the Middle Tennessee State upset. I was doing really nicely, and then watching Duke go out, I was like, okay, now I can just watch for fun.
Well, did you have Villanova?
You know what? I did. As the thing is, like, this is I always check with one game. Like, I used to be a big NCAA basketball fan. I just don't have time now. And a guy said to me, I call one guy, he says, look, if you have any balls at all, you'll take Wisconsin over Villanova in the second round, because he goes, I think they're going to beat them. And I guess, well, I have none then, because I didn't make the pick.
There you go. Well, good luck. We'll talk to you on Friday, sir.
All right.
Thanks.
See you later this week, guys.